Isn't that great? I think why we all enjoy it so much is because we can all relate to it. How many of you would say that the holidays are some of the most difficult times to be thankful? Okay. Many of us are busy throughout the year, and then you add all of the other expectations and shopping and all that goes into the holiday season, and we even become more busy and more stressed. And then on the top of the hecticness and our schedules, we also have the challenge of navigating through the holidays in regards to our finances. For most of us, there's not a whole lot left at the end of each month, and then you get to the holidays and you have additional costs, so that adds to the stress. And then we have the stress of family relationships and family dynamics, and even in the best of families, unmet expectations and frustrations, or even in some places where individuals are not speaking to one another, all of that tension comes to a head during the holidays. And then for some individuals, the holidays are hard to be grateful and thankful because we miss loved ones. The reminders of what used to be and how grandma or whoever used to be part of the holiday experience and now they're not able to be. This morning we want to look at how we can navigate through the holidays with a grateful heart apart from our circumstances. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. For those of you who are just becoming familiar with the Scriptures, 1 Timothy is in the New Testament. Your best bet would be to start in the back of the Bible, work your way forward till you come to 1 and 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. The book 1 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul in A.D. 64. He wrote it to his spiritual son, his son in the faith, Timothy. He was just released not too long before writing 1 Timothy from prison. And shortly thereafter writing 1 and 2 Timothy, he ended up in prison again. It was during the time of the Roman Empire, and the Emperor Nero wanted to wipe out Christianity. It was not a good time to be a Christian. And so, because the Apostle Paul was one of the leaders of the Christian faith and the Christian church, Emperor Nero placed Paul in prison. And shortly thereafter, he was executed. So I say all that to say the Apostle Paul had a very difficult life. He lived during a time when it was very challenging to be a Christian. But yet, he had a grateful heart. And this morning, we want to look at how you and I can cultivate a grateful heart, even if our circumstances aren't real great. Follow along as I read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Take a close look with me at verse 13. Paul describes what his life was like before he met Christ. He says in verse 13, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The Apostle Paul lived from a grateful heart because he never forgot what kind of man he was before he met Christ. For Paul, he was a Jewish leader who went by the name of Saul. He despised Christ and his followers, so much so that he persecuted them. Look at the three words that Paul used to describe his life apart from Christ. He says, I'm a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was a violent man. Blasphemer. The word blaspheme denotes evil and injurious speech directed against God. In Paul's case, the blasphemy was against Christ, the Son of God. He says, I was a persecutor. Paul would literally hunt down Christians and persecute them because he was angry that they were turning away from their Jewish law and their Jewish heritage. He even says, I was a violent man. He doesn't candy coat it at all. He describes how he honestly was and functioned. He refers to his destructive behavior as a violent man. Let me ask you, what three words would describe your life before Christ? If you had to narrow it down to just three words, what three words would describe your life before you trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? If you and I are going to develop a grateful heart this Thanksgiving, we need to pause and reflect on who we were apart from Christ. Rather than simply focusing on what your life was like apart from Christ, before you knew Christ, before you met Christ, let's put it in another way. What would your life be like now? What would your life be like today if you had never met Christ? As you think about cultivating a grateful heart, it's healthy to remember who we were apart from Christ. It's helpful to think about, I wonder what my life would be like before if Christ would not have met me. I want to encourage you to follow along in your notes. Take a look at the quote by C.J. Mahaney under point number one. This is what he says. He says, often my eyes fill with tears at the memories of my foolishness and sin. And in the same instant, my heart will be filled with an unspeakable holy joy. I am no longer the same. By the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, I've been forgiven of the countless sins I've committed. He goes on to say, many people today try to run from the past. I suppose I could try to as well, by leaving the hometown that holds so many reminders of my sinfulness. But I consider living here a gift from God. The regular reminders of my past are precious to me. Do you catch what C.J. Mahaney is saying? He's saying, I live in the same area that I grew up in before I knew Christ. And when I see people, when I see locations, it reminds me of what my life was like before Christ. And he says, my heart is filled with unspeakable and holy joy, for I am no longer the same. For some of us, remembering who we were before Christ might be difficult. For some of you, you're sitting here thinking, well, I was sort of like this, and now I'm like this. Let me say this. If you're having a hard time processing through what your life was like before Christ, and now what is your life after Christ, you really need to stop and ask yourself, have I met Christ in a personal way? Do I really know Christ? Am I submitting and surrendering my life to Christ? Because when you and I trust in Christ, Christ changes us from the inside out. He changes our desires. He changes our values. He changes our priorities. He transforms us. And so, if you're having a struggle to say, well, I struggle to articulate my life before Christ and my life after Christ, you really need to ask yourself, do I know Christ in a personal way? One of the greatest blessings of preparing the message this past week was for me to think about what my life was like apart from Christ. To even think about what would my life be like today if I hadn't submitted and trusted in Christ. As I was thinking about that, I thought about a jacket I had hanging up in the closet. It's an old Some of you recognize this. Some of you are like, what is that ugly thing? This is a Pennsylvania Future Farmers of America jacket. I know it's I used to wear this thing every day to school with my cowboy boots, with my jeans. You know what some of you are thinking? Redneck. Thinking back to high school. Not proud of this. Well, my children are like, close their eyes right now. But I navigated through high school without really writing a paper. I'm not even sure I wrote a book or read a book, let alone write a book. See, I can't even talk right. I don't even know my English. If you would have looked at the 350 individuals that graduated from the Penn Manor class of 1982, you would have not pick Jeff Burkholder to be a pastor at Community Bible Church. That's not who I was. That's not what I was about. I was about being a farmer. I was about taking over my dad's farm. That's what I was passionate about. That's what was important to me. But when I was 22 years old, Christ came to me, met me in a personal way. He convicted me. I needed to surrender my life to Him. And guess what? He changed me. He changed my heart. He changed my values. He changed my priorities. When I was 18, 19, 20 years old, I had no desire, no aspirations to be a pastor. Within 1 year after submitting and surrendering my life to Christ, I went to my dad. I said, Dad, next summer, I need to leave the farm because I believe God's calling me in the ministry. I did it willingly because my heart had changed. Christ changed me from the inside out. He changed my values. So as we enter into the Thanksgiving season, as we think about cultivating hearts of gratefulness apart from our circumstances, I want to encourage you to remember who you were apart from Christ. Take your Bibles and look with me at verse 14. We're actually going to skip ahead to point number 3 in your notes, so you might need to turn on the inside of the handout. Then we're going to come back to point number 2. But the Apostle Paul in verse 14 says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. What is Paul saying? To understand that statement, you have to understand what grace is. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. Grace is when God blesses us in ways we don't deserve and can never repay. When you think of God's grace in your life, what do you think of? For Paul, as he reflected on God's grace, he reflected on his faith and love. Paul understood faith and love were gifts from God that he didn't deserve. For Paul, without Christ's intervention in his life, he would still be bound by the law, persecuting Christians and blaspheming God. But God found Paul, gave him faith and a love that went beyond a human love. Because of God's grace in Paul's life, he was able to live by faith and love those who ended up persecuting him. Have you experienced God's grace? Has He blessed you in ways that you don't deserve and can never repay? As we think about cultivating a grateful heart, we need to reflect on God's grace. Let me just remind you of some of the spiritual blessings that you and I have in Christ. For those of us who have trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, let me give you just a short list of some of the spiritual blessings that we have, evidence of His grace in our lives. You and I are loved and accepted by God. Do we deserve to be loved and accepted by a holy God based on our actions, based on who we are? No. It's God's grace that we're loved and accepted by a holy God. When you and I lay our head on a pillow at night, we can be at peace with ourselves, knowing that we are at peace with God because we are accepted by a holy God through Christ. It's His grace. His grace is reflected in that you and I have been adopted into God's family. Do we deserve to be adopted into God's family? No. It's not based on our own merit. It's not based on our performance. We have been adopted into God's family because of Christ and what He's done for us. Because of God's grace, we can have a relationship with God. We can relate to God in a personal way. We can commune with God. God can speak to us. We can walk with God. We can follow God. We can have a relationship with the God of the universe. Think about that. Unbelievable. Amazing. Not based on any merit of our own. Not based on our actions or performance. Strictly based on who Christ is and what He's done for us. It's His grace that you and I can relate to God in a personal manner. Another spiritual blessing that we have because of God's grace is we can have confidence in eternal life. We don't have to wish, hope for, that we're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. In 1 John it says, these things are written so that you may know that you can have eternal life. You and I can have confidence of eternal life with Christ, not because we deserve it, but because of God's grace through Jesus Christ. So as you think about cultivating a grateful heart, maintaining a grateful heart through the holidays, take time to reflect on God's grace. Look with me at verses 15 and 16. Paul says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience. Do you find that surprising? That the Apostle Paul would refer to himself as the worst of sinners. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul that God used to write a large portion of the New Testament. This is the Apostle Paul that God chose to use to help establish the early church. God was going to advance and is advancing His kingdom through the local church. He chose Paul in that process. And now Paul says, I am the worst of sinners. Maybe some of you say, well, yeah, that would make sense to me if he said, I used to be the worst of sinners, right? Because he persecuted Christians. He hated Christ. So that would be able to be understandable. That would fit that Paul used to be the worst of sinners. But is that what he says? No. He says, I am, not I was. I am the worst of sinners. In Romans chapter 7, Paul describes his wrestling with his sinful fleshly nature. And he says, the things I want to do, I struggle to do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find that I end up doing. Paul was in touch with the depth of his sinful nature. He understood how the sin nature was impacting his heart, his values, his choices. There's a theological term that describes the depth of our sin nature. And it's a phrase that theologians refer to as total depravity. I want to encourage you to follow along in the notes this morning. Point number two is acknowledge our sin. In order to cultivate a grateful heart, we need to acknowledge our sin. Now, some of you on first glance might say, well, that's depressing, Jeff. How is that going to help me have a thankful and grateful heart? We'll get to that in just a moment. But let's look with Paul as he, let's look as we think about the depth of our sin nature, what Paul was referring to when he referred to himself as the worst of sinners. Total depravity means that sin reaches to every aspect of our personhood. Its damage of us is total. Physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, motivationally, socially, we have been damaged by sin. It ravages our inescapable and comprehensive. No one has dodged its scourge, and no one has been partially affected. We are all sinners. It reaches to every aspect of what makes us us. Paul was in touch with the depth of the sin nature in his life. I'm sure most of you noticed the sermon title this week, Pastor Jeff, The Worst of Sinners. Definitely got a little bit of reaction out of people. Saw some cars coming to a screeching halt on 441 this week. Chris Heaston came into the office on Wednesday around lunchtime. The signs went up on Wednesday morning, and he says, "Well, that settles it." I was like, "Settles what?" I had no idea what he was talking about. He goes, "The sign. You're the worst of sinners." And so it was fun in the office or they had some fun with that. But in many ways, I feel like I can identify with the Apostle Paul. I am keenly aware of the depth of the selfishness within my heart and how that impacts me in every area of my life. I'm keenly aware of how my heart is an idol factory. And so often, I tend to worship and to gravitate toward things of this world other than God that could never satisfy the deep longings of my heart. It's healthy for you and I to begin to be able to acknowledge that, yes, we are sinners. Not so that we are condemned, not so that we beat ourselves up. Here's the process. The closer that Paul walked with God, the more he walked with God, the more he was aware of his own sinfulness. And the more that he was aware of his own sinfulness, the more he appreciated the cross. The more he appreciated Christ. The more that he appreciated what Christ had done for him. Someone who doesn't acknowledge and admit and see themselves as a sinner, can they appreciate what Christ has done for them? No. Someone who makes it through a week and doesn't even realize they've sinned, do they really appreciate Christ when they come to church on Sunday morning and they sing Christ the Messiah? Maybe a little bit. But if you can't make it through the first part of your day without having ungodly, fleshly attitudes and thoughts, and you don't rationalize them, you don't say, "Oh, well, that's just who I am," but you say, "No. That's not pleasing to God." When you're constantly reminded of your sin, it's a constant reminder. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me on the cross. Take a look at the last two quotes under point two. We find this all so hard to accept because we studiously hold on to the possibility that we're more righteous than the Bible describes us to be. When we look into the mirror of self-appraisal, the person we tend to see is a person who is more righteous than any of us actually is. But when you understand God's grace, you don't have to pretend that you're spiritual. You don't have to defend the sinfulness within your own heart. You can simply say, "Yes, I agree with God. That is not pleasing to Him. Thank you for the cross." And the last quote is this: those who live closest to God are usually the most keenly aware of their own faults. And I would add to that, those who are most keenly aware of their own faults are the ones who have the greatest appreciation for Christ and what He's done for them. And the fourth and final key to cultivating a heart of gratitude is found in verses 12 and 16. Let me link those two verses together. Paul says in verse 12, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service." Skip down to verse 16. "For that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life." Paul is amazed and thankful that God has appointed him to a service. Paul is amazed that God is using him to further his kingdom, to help others come to Christ. I love the way Eugene Peterson translates verses 12 and 16 in the translation of the Message. Look at it there in your notes. Paul says, "I am so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate to do this work. He went out on a limb, you know, entrusting me with this ministry. And now he shows me off, evidence of his endless patience to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever." The fourth key to navigating and to cultivating a heart of gratefulness is to realize God desires to use you despite your past struggles. Despite your past and your struggles. Think about it. Paul was marveling. He was saying, "I can't believe God is using me. Despite who I used to be, a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, despite who I used to be, God is still using me. God has purposes for me. He has plans for me. Despite who I am, despite my ongoing struggles and challenge with my fleshly sinful nature, God still desires to use me." Now, some of you might be thinking, "Well, Jeff, that's the Apostle Paul. Of course God desired to use the Apostle Paul. But me, if you are in Christ, you are part of the body of Christ, you have spiritual gifts, God desires to use you. God has people for you to touch and to impact. Despite your past, despite your ongoing issues, the scripture is full of sinful, broken, dysfunctional people that God has used to advance his kingdom. Let me just give you three quick examples. Think about Moses. Remember Moses, how angry he got? He actually beat on a guy to death. On top of that, he stuttered. And God chose him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Why did God choose Moses? Because it didn't really matter who Moses was. He simply needed a vessel that he could work through. God's plan was not dependent on Moses. Think about David, a man referred to as a man after God's own heart. He had an adulterous relationship. He ended up murdering the woman's husband. But yet God used him to lead the nation of Israel. Or how about the disciples? I'm going to talk a mishmash of dysfunctional, self-centered, egotistical individuals that God chose to use for the advancement of his kingdom. As you think about what you had to be thankful for, as you think about cultivating a grateful heart, think about the fact that the God of the universe wants to use you to touch lives. And he even wants to use your past and your present struggles as part of the process. Because it's through your life, as Paul says, that his unlimited patience is for all to see. Look at how Paul concludes this paragraph in verse 17. He says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul's writing a letter to Timothy. Partway through this letter to Timothy, he starts reflecting on why he's thankful. Verse 12, "I thank Christ Jesus." As he starts writing why he's thankful, he bursts out in this praise and worship to God. Right in the middle of this letter, he stops and he says, let me read again. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." The conclusion is this: as you and I understand who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us, praise and worship will flow from our hearts, apart from our circumstances. You and I can have grateful hearts, even though loved ones have passed away and may not be part of your holidays. In the midst of the dysfunction and conflict and challenge and navigating through family relationships over the holidays, in the midst of your marriage, in the midst of ongoing challenges, you can cultivate a grateful heart as you reflect on what your life was like apart from Christ, as you come to grips with your sinfulness, as you come to appreciate and understand God's grace, as you come to realize, despite your struggles, God still desires to use you. I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you to take an hour of your time and to work through this handout that I've prepared for you this week. It's a guide to cultivating a grateful heart that parallels with the 4 points that we've just walked through from 1 Timothy. I would encourage you to take some time today, this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, because I understand the circumstances of this world can overwhelm us. And you and I need to recenter our lives on Christ and what he's done for us. Take some time to work through this handout. Trust that you'll be blessed as you do. For those of you who might still be thinking back to, I'm not really sure there's been a significant change in my life because of Christ, I would encourage you to give me a call, send me an email. I'd love to interact with you about where you're at with Christ, to process through whether or not you've simply just been religious over the years and you simply have had an intellectual understanding of Christ, but you've never come to know him in a personal way. You've never submitted and surrendered your life to him. I don't have all the answers, but I'd love to talk through or email back and forth with you about where you're at with Christ. This morning, we want to close out the service with some individuals who are going to share how Christ has transformed their lives, how Christ has changed them. Our prayer is that God would be exalted and that you would be encouraged and that you would reflect again on how Christ has changed you.